And welcome in to the Living Blended podcast. This is Colby, and with me is my girlfriend Megan.
Hello.
Hello. This is our first podcast that we're doing together. So we kind of wanted to walk through why we were doing this, what this podcast, what we hope for it to do, and kind of what it's about. So I guess we can kind of start off with a little bit of our history and maybe why we're doing this podcast. So I guess I'll start with mine, because I think mine probably has to come first here.
Probably.
So I have two kids from a prior relationship, and when Megan and I started dating, it was during COVID. This was in March. It came with a bunch of different challenges that I never really had to face. And I don't know, I think you dated a couple people with kids before?
I did. Not ever super seriously, and not ever anything that I wanted to be long-term. So I was kind of kept, on purpose, kept them and the kids sort of at arm's length, because I grew up in a blended family and knew the challenges of that, and didn't really want to involve kids if I knew it wasn't going to be in for the long haul.
Yeah. So, and this was the first time that I kind of got back into the dating world. So I think seeing it from the lens of having kids is very different than just kind of being single and by yourself. So we kind of wanted to use this platform to kind of just talk about our experiences and some decisions that we make along the way. And like I said, we started dating in March, and I think we agree that we have long-term plans together, right?
Right.
Okay. That's good to
know. Do I?
Yes. Okay. I'd like to.
March of last year, by the way.
This would be March of 2020. That's kind of the, and my two kids, just for a little more context, are 5 and 3.
As far as why we're doing this, I think we both have our own individual reasons. I know that coming into a relationship that is going to be for the long haul. I mean, this is, you know, I love him and I want this to be for life. And but it is challenging coming in as someone who's childless into a situation with somebody who has two kids from a previous relationship. And not a lot of people I know are in that same situation. There's a handful, but it's almost like it's sort of swept under the rug. And really for me, especially when we first started dating, I really wanted to find some resources and somebody who was in my same situation. And it was just really hard to do that. It was hard to find people who shared that similar journey. And so really my reason for wanting to do this is to sort of help others feel less alone. It can be really isolating to sort of be in this stepmom kind of role, especially when you don't, when you're coming in without biological children of your own. And so for me, that's sort of why I was wanting to put this out there, is to let other women who, or men, if it's on the flip side, to know that you're not alone in this journey, and that somebody else does understand sort of the struggles and hardships that can come along with it.
Yeah.
And the positive things that can come along with it too, that we share in a completely different way than biological parents do.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note too, that we are not here to be experts on this. We don't claim to be experts on this. We just put a lot of attention to the decisions that we make when it comes to the kids. And it comes to us. I mean, because any decision that we're making, you know, to progress our relationship that maybe doesn't have to do with the kids, still has to do with the kids. But they're still going to be impacted by it. So it's important to kind of just have that context with it. We kind of wanted to go through, you know, we're not married. We are living together. But we kind of wanted to share some of the things that we did kind of during the phases or the evolution of our relationship and the evolution of your relationship with the boys, who are probably going to be referenced here by name. They're Carter and Caden. Carter is the oldest and Caden is the youngest.
There are like I said, we're not experts. We rely on experts, I think, a lot, that we've done a lot of research and done a lot of reading. And there have definitely been some resources that I particularly have found really helpful. And so from time to time, we'll share some of those, whether it's books or articles, different websites, even other podcasts. And you know, to sort of help, because everybody's journey is a little bit different, and we just want to share the things that have helped us.
Yeah, so I think we'd talk about, like I said, different life events that we might be going through, talk about some of the challenges that come with just having a blended family in general. We are pretty lucky in the fact that my relationship with my ex isn't, it certainly has its ups and downs, like any relationship period. But it I think at this point, it's at a decent place that we can co-parent. You know, we're not, you know, best friends or anything, but we're at least at a decent place where we can co-parent. And Megan has been incredible and can probably share a lot of insight here as to how she formed a relationship with my ex. Because you probably talk to her more than I do.
Probably. I mean, a lot of the things that we talk about are just sort of, I don't know, girl things.
Like, yeah.
You know, skincare and
surface level stuff.
Yeah, sort of things. Yeah. But I think that helps, that when there are heavier topics to talk about, it sort of helps to have that pre-established positive relationship that we can fall back on. I don't want the only thing that we ever, I don't want there to be drama or anything like that or any sort of negativity. And I definitely don't want that to be the entirety of our relationship. Like, I want it to be genuine so that when, especially when the kids do see us together, that like Caden will even say like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Mommy texts you. That's your friend. Mm-hmm. And I want them to see it that way. I don't want them to see that there's any animosity either way, because I don't want there to be any sort of, like loyalty that they feel like they have to live up to with either one of us. So, yeah, it's really important that we have a good relationship for that reason. And really my own sort of backstory helped me realize how important that was from the get-go, like from the jump, even before you and I met in person.
Yeah. I mean, it might be worth talking about kind of the house that you came from.
Yeah. That was something I really wanted to focus on, was having a good relationship with his ex-wife, with his bio mom. Because I grew up in a household that did not have that. My parents divorced when I was 8. I was actually born into a blended family. My dad was married prior to my mother and had 2 children from a previous relationship, from a previous marriage. So I was born into
it. I hope you have a pen and paper and y'all are charting this down, because this is going to be really challenging.
And the family tree is a little bit cumbersome. So my dad had 2 children from a previous marriage, my 2 older sisters, Heather and Susan. And then they had me together. They divorced when I was 8, and my mother has been married more than once since then, and my dad as well. They're both married right now. My dad's been married for 20 years, and I have a great relationship with my bonus mom there, and with all of my... She came into the marriage with 4 children, and they've been married so long that we have a really great relationship. But my dad was married prior to that to a woman named Julie, and my mother and Julie had just really, really antagonistic relationship, and it affected me deeply. There was a lot of times that I wanted both of them to be at a particular event, and they just couldn't pull it together enough to be able to do that. And really the only person who got caught in the crossfire was me. And I didn't want that for Carter and Caden. And I never want that to be, I don't think that should ever be the case. It made my dad uncomfortable. I got hurt. And it was really uncomfortable, I assume, for my mother and Julie. So I didn't want to be any part of that.
Yeah, so you've seen it kind of evolve in 2 different ways.
Right.
Like having a great relationship with Amy, and then seeing what it could look like if if the co-parents didn't, or the bio mom and the bonus mom, or, you know, the bonus dad or bio dad, if they didn't have a great relationship with each other.
Yeah, so, absolutely. So yeah. I knew which way I wanted to go with that. And it was definitely modeled after my dad and stepmom, Amy. They have they're pretty much the Brady Bunch as far as blended families go. And I feel like if I wanted to model after anybody, it would be them.
Yeah. So. And I think it's probably worth noting that even though we're talking about like surface level conversations that you might have with Catherine, who is my ex, by the way, that just because they're surface level, I think they're still super important. They're not inconsequential or non-inconsequential, I think is the word I'm looking for. I think it's important to establish the relationship and to just talk. I think sometimes it's probably awkward to extend that kind of olive branch especially like maybe when, as y'all went to dinner.
Really early on, that's the first time we ever met, was you weren't even there. I think we were having a hard time like figuring out a time, and we were both kind of just like, well, I mean, you don't have to be there. We can do this on our own. We're adults. And I would say,
well, I didn't even think I was invited.
You weren't.
Yeah, I didn't think I was.
We texted each other.
I think that was good, though. I think that was.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those things where it just kind of evolved over time. I mean, we're around each other frequently enough now between sports and swim lessons and karate and all of those things that we, or even right now with going back to school stuff, that we just kind of have a natural relationship on our own. And it made it really easy to be more comfortable the longer and the more often we're around each other. Like, we'll randomly text each other memes about toddlers and stuff like that, just to sort of, I don't know, help share and bond and things like that. I think that's really important.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about, kind of dating.
How is it different for you as a single parent versus when you were just a single man out on the market? All the ladies coming at you.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know what that was.
Yeah. I don't know what that was either. It was some snot in my nose. Mm-hmm. It was incredibly different. One, just looking through the lens of my kids rather than the lens of myself. Like I knew, you know, I think as you grow up, you continue to evolve into what you want in a partner. And then when you add kids into it, it just adds a ton of layers. So I'm pretty sure I said this really on when we started dating that I was looking, at the maternal or motherly kind of instincts that, you know, I wanted my partner to have, because I could see, like, from my past experiences, they taught me that, you know, there are some things that are kind of harder to overcome as a partner with, when you have kids, when kids are involved. So the stakes get higher, I think. And I kind of went in with, some preconceived notions that I think were proven false pretty quickly, in just that when I started dating, I was thinking that the only person that I'd end up being with was somebody else who was in a like situation. So I thought the only way that I was going to find happiness in a relationship again was going to be, you know, Brady Bunch style. I thought I was going to...
Like somebody who was also divorced and had children from a prior marriage.
Right. Right. And I think that went away really quick with you. It kind of started to fade away. My mom was kind of instrumental in pulling me out from that and saying, no, you really shouldn't go into that. And she gave me instances of that where it happened in my family.
Thank you, Tina.
Yeah. That was very, I don't know. I had blinders onto that, and I didn't really think. And it might be because the majority... I think maybe all but one of the people that I spoke with, like that I kind of dated before we got together, all had kids. They were all coming out of a relationship and all had kids. So, and it was a very different dating experience than it was when I didn't have kids. I mean, did you have any preconceived notions about dating somebody who did have kids, or like when you were...
Oh God, absolutely. I think because of the way that, when I say that my mother's been married, several times, she's on number 9 and yeah, I know. And it definitely colored the way that I saw marriage. It colored the way that I saw relationships, and it definitely colored the way that I saw relationships with people with kids. There was kind of constant drama and conflict in my house when I was growing up. And, regardless of whether it was husband A or husband B or whatnot. And I just kind of made the assumption that that was always going to have to be the case if you were dating somebody who had kids, that there was always going to be, I don't know if you know the term, but HCBM. It's
Hellcat.
No, it's a high conflict bio mom.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
And it's something I've...
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't have come across that in my...
In what, your daily reading?
Yeah.
It's something I subscribe to a lot of different, like, stepmom-type blogs and things like that, and they talk often about the high-conflict bio mom. Luckily, don't really have that. So, that was sort of proven wrong, and I did have that preconceived notion that that would just have to be part of my life, and so I really sort of tried to push that away. I did have this kind of preconceived notion that maybe my thoughts and opinions wouldn't be valued because I don't have biological children, that it would be, you don't really know what you're talking about, things like that. I have a large family. I have a ton of nieces and nephews, and I feel like I've been raising kids since I was a kid, even if they did not, you know, come from my own body. So that kind of bothered me, the fact that that assumption would be there. And so I definitely had those preconceived notions. I don't think that those came true.
So you kind of thought you were going to go into a relationship. If you went into a relationship with someone who had kids, that there was going to be that high C M or BM, high C BM?
HCBM. The high conflict bio mom, yes.
Yeah.
I just made the assumption that that would be the case, partially because I think that that's what happened when I was a kid, that there was a high conflict bio mom situation on multiple sides. My dad's first wife was a little bit more than a little bit high conflict as well.
Now all I'm thinking about is high C BM.
High C
like the drink, and BM right. Like a bowel movement.
Well, this went somewhere off.
Yeah, we're off the tracks now. I'm sorry. Let's rein it back in. I think just kind of to speak to your point about feeling valued, like having your... I think that that's one of the things that I wanted to make sure that, you know, who I was dating had that input. Like, at the beginning, I had no problem being the voice with their bio mom, with Catherine, about that, no, like, Megan is going to play a role in... Like, I want her opinion to count just as much as ours do. One, because one of the reasons that I love you is that you're incredibly intelligent, and I know that you put in the work when it comes to the decision-making that goes on in this house. So I trust your opinion more than I trust my own. Yeah.
We have very different... If you look at our, the things we read and watch on YouTube, they're very, very different.
Yeah.
Mine's a lot about blended families, and yours is...
I don't know. Mine's a bunch of like
Tacomas and Jeeps.
Really random stuff.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. That you absolutely do your work. Your background work too. I think that that's pretty even as far as what we contribute there.
Yeah.
We did meet during, like I said, March of 2020, and that was sort of at the not even the height of COVID. That was the very beginning of COVID. Right before everything sort of shut down and we didn't have anything to do except stare at screens, I guess, for a while.
Yeah.
We just should say we met online. We met on an app called Hinge.
Mm-hmm. I would recommend.
Yeah, 10 out of 10 would recommend.
10 out of 10.
I will say I did scare away a little bit initially. We'd been talking for a couple of weeks and I did the whole, I'm not ready to date thing, and then...
I think that was when we were about to have a first video date.
Phone. It was just the phone.
Oh, is it just the phone? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think some of those, like I said, those preconceived notions, they ran deep, and it just, I let it scare me. And you'd given me your phone number and said that if I ever wanted to reach back out to do that, and I did, like 2 weeks later. It didn't take long. And I tend to be a little bit wordy, and I wrote like a page-long text.
Yeah, it was long. I think trying to explain it, it was you like poking your head out of your shell, and
right.
You're like, oh, sorry, right. Yeah. I don't know why I did this.
Pretty much. We met at the very beginning of COVID, which I think was a kind of a blessing and a curse.
I'd consider it way more a blessing than a curse.
I think that the curse part was really just because it was hard to see each other in a, quote unquote norm day to day. But I don't know that we knew at the time that we would all have sort of a new norm. It's like, was what I'm seeing really, is this who this person really is, or is this COVID version of this person?
Yeah.
But I think more than that, it was definitely a blessing. It absolutely helped to accelerate.
Yeah. And there's a lot, I think there's a lot that people can hide, when dating, if they're just texting or even talking, especially texting, but I mean,
right.
Talking on the phone, video chatting, if those are kind of the only things that you're doing. Thankfully, I can't remember when our first in-person date was.
I don't remember.
I can't even guess. It was outside. It was yeah. walking a trail outside.
We have pizza.
Yeah, we have pizza. But I think it helped to accelerate our relationship because they're like, not during the height of COVID, but during the very beginning of COVID, I think when we were dating during the height of it. Yeah. I mean,
when everything was shut down.
Knock on wood. I hope this doesn't age poorly. And we, right. we are actually in a valley right now.
God.
Oh, please no. But no, I think because there wasn't much else to do, like social circles shrunk.
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't kind of going out. Nobody was really going out and about if they were safe. And, so it created a lot of really good conversation.
Yeah.
And even some of our date nights, like instead of going out and doing a date night that, you know, maybe you're more typical going out to dinner and talking a little bit or, you know, going to a movie and barely talking at all, we would have, we would do not board games, but like card games. We did board games too.
Board games.
But I think the card games is what really helped us kind of talk mm-hmm. through our relationship and what we wanted and kind of helped see the picture of the other person pretty early on. It might be worth it. Do you remember the name of those?
It was Table Topics.
Table Topics. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Really good. Totally recommend it. They have a ton of different types.
Varieties. Like they even have one for kids. Dating, we saw them at like a Chick-fil-A. We got it with a Chick-fil-A one night. And
that's right.
We did it with the kids. And it was like, what kind of movie would you want to be in? Like that kind of thing with the kids. But it was a little bit deeper when we were kind of going through them with us. I think sort of to your point about for people who are taking it seriously and taking COVID seriously, that isn't being safe. I think that part was definitely probably also a blessing because had that not been the case, you never really would have seen how people, react under great pressure, because I think that COVID was that for a lot of people, that it was a lot of pressure in a lot of different ways and a lot of stress. And you got to see how that other person handled that amount of stress. That's not a typical situation. You probably don't see in the first year of dating, you don't really see your partner under that amount of stress, like just the sort of crushing stress of COVID and even the 2020 election, things like that are just sort of pounding on you all the time. But it also helped me see like how well you would hold boundaries, that you wouldn't cave to peer pressure to get together with people just because they really wanted it. And I think that we were sort of in the minority there, especially, like around Christmas and things like that we both really held firm to those boundaries. Like, no, we have this, our little circle of people that we will be in person with and see, and that's pretty much it. And I think if COVID hadn't happened, it would have, we wouldn't really know those things about that other person.
Yeah. And I think, maybe some of the curses of it are that, you haven't, and I haven't been able to kind of form those relationships with our loved ones, right? Like the loved ones that we had, that, like our family and friends.
Right.
Like, it's been a little better. And, we did like with your mom, we did Christmas over Zoom.
We did like outside with my dad and, mm-hmm. And my stepmom and, we did like little things like that. And then the people who were in are just a little immediate circle, like Randy and Megan and Amber, mm-hmm. my best friend, who, we would see them and we knew who they were around. We trusted them to sort of hold their boundaries as well.
Yeah.
But really, as far as our, you get to know your partner's friends, we didn't really, there's no happy hours. There was no,
right.
Let's all go out to dinner, things like that. There just really wasn't any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we were together for a while before we really got to start to know each other as family and friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even when we did, it was usually in a sort of small group settings and outside. And,
right. Yeah. And even still having the group settings can be hard to really, get to know.
Right.
Like, you were with my parents and we were one-on-one.
Yeah.
But besides that, I think that made a challenge. COVID made a challenge there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about kind of the start of our relationship and maybe some of the, I don't think we need to go into everything, but maybe some of the decisions that we made early on that had to do with the kids specifically. So like one of the things that come to mind is kind of how to decide when it's right to introduce kids.
Right.
And I think there's, there's going to be, I mean, opinions are going to vary a ton.
I think that any kind of time, if somebody just shoots out like a number, I feel like that's arbitrary because right. every relationship is going to advance at different speeds. Like I said, with COVID, I think that ours accelerated faster than it probably would have without that. So, you know, that sort of arbitrary, you know, people say 6 months, 9 months, a year, it didn't really work out that way for us. So not to say that, that those timelines are wrong. They just, it just wasn't our reality.
Right. And I think they're definitely arbitrary and it's totally dependent on the, kind of the relationship and the, and how comfortable you are with it. But when we decided to kind of introduce the kids into it, I think one of the things we put an emphasis on was kind of doing it and not on their turf, not on your turf, but on
neutral territory.
Yeah, neutral territory. So, and we kind of wanted to make it happen what in what seemed like happenstance. Like that it was just like, this kind of happened. Megan.
We're at the park. And, I just happened to be out for a walk. And then we sort of just kind of hung out.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the first time we met in person.
The boys were 4 and 2. Caden might have been under 2. He was under 2 when we started dating.
Yeah. I think not meeting on either person's turf was really an important thing that we decided to do it. When we first met in person, we decided to do it in a neutral territory. It wasn't really super neutral because they'd already been, we met at a park and they'd already been to that park once before.
Mm-hmm. And it was one that you had recommended. I think I had told them, Megan said this park's really, and it's a park that has like a walking trail and has a playground at the end of it. It's a pretty long walking trail, but has a playground at the end of it. And,
They'd done a scavenger hunt there before.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, but yeah, before Megan had met them, she had set up a scavenger hunt through this where it had like riddles and these.
They had to figure out. It was more, Carter had to really figure it out. Yeah. Because Caden was, like you said, nonverbal. He had to go and figure out different little areas in the park to go. And they had sunglasses that somebody stole. Still makes me mad.
Mm-hmm. These teenage kids.
I know.
Hot Wheels. What did they do with these tiny sunglasses?
Right. These are meant for children.
Ridiculous.
And I don't remember what else was there. I mean, really, it wasn't the point of the things that they got. It was a way to sort of engage them. And
And it's those small things that just keep adding up. Like, I mean, Carter talked about several times. Like, Megan, when are you going to do the next scavenger hunt?
He
still asks you.
Yeah.
So just finding ways to engage with the kids without actually being there to engage with the kids. Right. And I think those are just a couple of the creative ways you did it. You did it a bunch of times. But that was all kind of part of this big plan of you actually meeting them. So eventually we went to the park, and it was just me and the boys were going to go for a walk and going to go to the playground. And, you know, we had planned this, and you had said, oh, yeah, I'll be there too, and we'll just run into each other. And then I'll ask you to join the rest of our walk, see if they're okay with it. And then we all kind of walk together. And so, I mean,
went really well. And, I think Carter and I kind of walked ahead a little bit and got to talk to him and, we went up this like kind of a small hiking trail, and we think we spent like maybe an hour together that first day. And, Anna Marie telling me that they wanted to keep rolling down the window. Like, he texted me when he got home and said that they wanted to keep rolling down the window, to tell me bye after you guys drove off and left. But yeah, the next time we kept doing those little gradual incremental things that I think a couple weeks later we did, instead of, you know, meeting by happenstance, quote unquote, at the park, we made a plan to meet up. It still wasn't one of those where I came over here, you guys came to my place. It was, I remember the place I was living at the time. We, you know, sort of drove separately, met together, and did that a couple of times before I ever even came over to the house with them here.
Yeah.
So that they got to know me, and I wasn't a stranger who all of a sudden showed up in their house. I think that part was especially important. Like, I remember I wouldn't even park in the driveway at first, and I would like ring the doorbell and those kinds of things, because I didn't want them to feel like I was overstepping or anything. And that was part of my own personal experience, that there was times when I would come home from the other parent's house, and sometimes there would be some random man in the living room who I'd never met before and had no idea who they were. And as a 9, 10 year old girl, like, that just wasn't something that made me super comfortable, and I never wanted that to be the boys' reality.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I wanted to sort of gradually ease into those sorts of things.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk just briefly about kind of what we hope to do maybe with this podcast. I think we're trying to grow it as organically as possible, in that, you know, trying to just market it to the folks, and I use the term market it very loosely, try and market it to the folks that are in kind of that similar state in their life, that are kind of going through dealing with the blended family, dealing with co-parenting. So if you can, give us a follow on Instagram. We're at Living Blended Pod. It's very new. Like, this is our first podcast. We're just kind of starting to push this out. I think Megan's working on a blog post.
Correct.
So we hope to have a blog site up or a website up shortly. So this podcast, I think we can focus on maybe a couple topics an episode. I'm not sure how frequently we're going to be able to do this. Hopefully maybe every 2 weeks or so, I think, would be doable. One, because just to get the information out there, and because it's also very enjoyable to just sit here and chat.
Just get to stare across from you. You're so handsome. Mm-hmm.
Oh, thanks, baby. I appreciate it. I love you. You're so beautiful.
I love you.
Okay, this just got all...
I know, just all mushy and weird. Sorry, y'all can cut this part out.
Yeah. But yeah, if you listened, we truly appreciate it. And go give us a follow on social media.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.